One more announcement. Sounds like there's a lot of things going on next weekend, but to add to that, Porter Congregation is planning to have a series of meetings Friday evening, Saturday evening, Sunday morning and evening on personal life management, and that will be spoken to by Brother Edwin Eby from Pennsylvania. I have not met him, but if you are looking for choices in the many things of next weekend, why, that could be one of them. Greetings. In the name of the one whose resurrection brought power in specific ways to godly people, to believers, and that's us this morning. We've been already reminded about theology this morning. We've heard about doctrinal theology. We've also heard about practical theology. Both are necessary. They complement one another, and they take us into and on through real life, don't they? Theology. And unless we understand and are settled in our hearts about who God is, why, the practical side of that won't work out real well. I could relate to many of the things that have already been spoken. The need for oil in the gasoline for a chainsaw. Being an only child, why, when my father was in the wood cutting operation, why, he didn't call to Jack or Bill, he called to Edwin to help. So it's been a way of life for me. But the oil that must be mixed in our lives, especially the Holy Spirit, needs to be mixed, doesn't it? Needs to be there, needs to be thorough, needs to be right for life to work out right. Sign on a church building or by a church building on the way down this morning: give God what is right, not what is left. Play on words. Also, we're so conscious of the election coming up, aren't we? And it's kind of last minute, so the sentiments, the push, the talk, that's pretty concentrated. And so I saw the signs this morning, yes on 79, yes on 84, no on 81. Well, I'm not sure what all those are, but they're measures that have to do with legislation, potential. And there are those who are vocal in their sentiments about it. My mind went to God's Word, the basis of our doctrinal theology and our practical theology. And so today we have people who are saying no on such and such a verse, or yes on this passage. Well, we need to have things straight, don't we? Need to have our full surrender in place that we talked about, we sang about earlier, that commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In one of the stories that we have related to us about Jesus' work of healing is the one about blind Bartimaeus. And I'd like to look at that one this morning. It's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I'd like to look at Mark's account, which is in the last part of chapter 10. Maybe we can call this lessons from the healing of blind Bartimaeus. Mark 10, beginning with verse 46, and as you see that, as you look at the context, you see that the verse before is a key verse of Mark's account. Mark, of course, portrayed Jesus as a servant. And in the case of Jesus, the servant, he's a compassionate servant. That means so much to us, doesn't it, even today. And so that key verse there, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to the extent of giving his life a ransom for many. All right, going on then, I'll read through this story. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out, he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, that's blind Bartimaeus, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Main characters here. Two main characters. There are other people involved, but two main characters. One, of course, was Jesus Christ, who is the main character of these gospel accounts. And in this case, another main character was Bartimaeus. Well, how did this man, Bartimaeus, how did he identify Jesus? What shows up in his approach? Now, I realize that we have to use our imagination a little bit. We have a few details given. There are other details that aren't given that we don't know that probably entered into the picture. But how does this blind man identify Jesus? Well, he doesn't seem to identify him by his popularity. I don't know what previous knowledge Bartimaeus had. He must have had some, but as far as the time that Jesus would have experienced popularity with the people, Bartimaeus was out of that circulation. He wasn't able to be at the programs. He wasn't able to hear the lectures. He wasn't able to read the resumes about Jesus. He was stuck out there begging without sight. So it wasn't by the popularity of Jesus that Bartimaeus identified him. And along with that, it doesn't seem to be an identity by the teaching ministry of Jesus. Again, Bartimaeus may not have ever heard Jesus teach. May have, may not have, we don't have record. But he doesn't identify Jesus as a teacher. And interestingly enough, even with the plot of this story, he doesn't identify Jesus as a healer. Now, yes, he was seeking healing, but that didn't show up in what he said as he called to Jesus. How did Bartimaeus identify Jesus? Well, it was as the son of David. As the son of David. What does that bring to mind? David was a man who loved people. And he was a man that was loved by people. We read the accounts of those men who followed him, who walked with him, who spent their lives with him. There was a love, there was a relationship there that Bartimaeus thought of, that he connected with as he identified Jesus, as he called to Jesus, the son of David. Also, when we think of David, we think of a man who did not seek revenge. Innocent of the accusations of Saul, the suspicions of Saul, the hunting relentless hunting of Saul for him. And the opportunities to settle the score, to even up things that he had, David chose to let it go by. He said, I will not take revenge on the Lord's anointed. That was the spirit of David. What else about David comes to our minds? Well, he was in tune with the heart of God. We just had an example of that in the devotional just preceding here. The words of David there in reflecting on who God is, on what nature, how nature connects with God because of God being the designer of nature, and how that man then has a much deeper, a greater opportunity to magnify and glorify God because of what man can perceive, what man understands about the law of the Lord and all those different things mentioned in that psalm. And he reflects on his inner spirit too. Finally ending up with that desire, that longing, that what he thinks about, what he plans, what goes on in his deliberations of mind and heart, that could be under the direction of God, that could please God. And then also that his expression, his verbal expression, what he says, how he identifies himself in what he says, that would be a blessing to the kingdom. That would reflect on the mighty power of God that we sang about a few moments ago. And so, what else about David did Bartimaeus likely think about? Well, David was committed to God's long-term plan. I don't have in mind how many years it was from the time that he was anointed as king until he actually occupied the throne, but it was a period of time. It was years went by. Years went by. But David just left it up to God. When the time is right, when God directs this, when God opens the doors, when God puts the things in place, then it will be as has been predicted, as has been laid out. And he was willing to wait. So he was committed long term to what God had in mind for him. And so Bartimaeus calls to Jesus here as the Son of David, the one with mercy to offer, the one to supply something from that mercy. That was the one that blind Bartimaeus called to and identified. And certainly, in identifying Jesus as the Son of David, really, he was identifying him as the Messiah, the one sent from God to bring that fullness to man of God's message, of God's love, of God's interest, and certainly of God's plan, long-term plan for man, and certainly redemption. That's how Bartimaeus identified Jesus. We find that from our story here. Well, Bartimaeus cries out unashamedly. Didn't matter who heard. Didn't matter who was looking. He cried out for mercy. Cried out for recognition. Cried out for relief, for restoration from this needy condition. And the purpose of this message is to call us to think of some parallels between Bartimaeus and you and I this morning, or at least in our lives, that we too are needy creatures. And the steps to find God, the steps to identify and connect with Jesus Christ really are the same. We heard that at the beginning of our service this morning, that the way to know God, the steps of connecting with God, it's the same. It doesn't change. It's the same for throughout time and history. Because of the way Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus, I believe that he had felt a call. He had felt that this was the way to find some relief from his needs. This was the source that he could point to, talk to, address, and place himself before. He had felt that call, but now he hears a call. That's different. It gets to be a more personal thing, doesn't it? When we hear a call. Now, Mother may call supper time, but if she begins to name names, that makes it even more personal, doesn't it? And so Bartimaeus here hears that personal call. We read there in verse 40, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And I know it's just the way it's worded here, but at the end of verse 49, it says, he calleth thee. It doesn't say he calleth for thee, but he calleth thee. Now, did Jesus name Bartimaeus by name? Well, we don't know. We don't have that on record. He may have, but however Jesus addressed this situation, it was personal enough that there was no question who he was talking about, who he was inviting to come closer. There wasn't any question in Bartimaeus' mind in this conversation who was being brought to the attention here. Was Bartimaeus worthy? He probably didn't look worthy. He was an outcast. He wasn't worthy as far as his fellow men were concerned. Didn't look worthy. Probably didn't smell worthy. Didn't have anything to offer. But to Jesus, he was worthy. He deserved a personal interest. Moving apart from this story just for a little bit here, what did Jesus say to those that he addressed personally in their needs? We have other examples of Jesus accosting people or responding to people in a personal way. What did he say to them? Well, if we would back up to the second chapter of Mark, that story about the man who was brought by his friends to Jesus and let down through the roof. That's been a fascinating story to me ever since I was first heard it as a child. Jesus said to that man, thy sins be forgiven thee. Thy sins. You, the one I'm addressing, the one I'm pointing to, the one I'm seeing here, the one who obviously has needs in body and in spirit. And very likely his physical needs, as we analyze some of the wording of that story, it could very well be possible that some of his physical needs were because of a careless lifestyle. Could have been. Jesus said to him, thy sins be forgiven thee. What a wonderful personal word, message to hear from Jesus Christ. Also in Mark in chapter 5, to the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus said to her, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. What more blessed words could one hear than that? Go in peace. Or this one in John 8, to the woman taken in adultery, with all those around looking down their noses at her, pointing at her, just waiting for the opportunity to punish her. To that woman, in her shame, Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. I don't condemn you. What fitting words, what sweet words to hear as Jesus addressed her in a personal way. Earlier in Mark 10, where the children were brought before Jesus. Jesus said to them, he said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. Don't forbid them to come. Don't restrict them from adoring me, from coming to me, from being familiar with me. Don't restrict that. Suffer the little children to come unto me, Jesus said. Again, that personal touch, that personal feeling that comes from the Savior. All right, let's get back to the story of Bartimaeus now and try to look at what this miracle pictures to us about the mission of Jesus Christ. Mission of Jesus Christ. Yes, it was personal. It was to a particular time and person, but it reflects or exemplifies what his mission was to all people. Well, I think about a universal need. Let's think about that just a bit. The universal need. It wasn't just a blind man that had a need that day. Many others did, and some were, of course, more conscious and some less conscious of what their needs were. And more or less conscious of finding a remedy for their needs. Here was a man that was poor, that was helpless, that was blind. Obviously. And yet, not so far removed from our status before God. What have you accumulated of earth's sources that carries much value with God? We're poor too, aren't we? What, by way of physical strength or even intellectual ability, can you do that has any comparison with what God can do, what he has done? Both in the natural creation, the physical creation, and in the spiritual creation. No comparison. What can you see, even with two good eyes? What can you see beyond the moment where we are right now at 11:24 and a half? We're blind too, aren't we? Not so much different than the blind man, are we? We all have those universal needs. And in that universal need that we all have, to sense, the form of a healer close to us, to sense the one, the Son of David, to sense the one who is the Messiah, the promised one, not just a one, but the one. To sense the presence, the closeness of that one. In that universal need, just like Bartimaeus that day, we can reach that healer too. We can reach him. Bartimaeus, it says that he left his garment. I'm not sure just what that meant. If it was cold, and he was in his inactivity there was needing extra warmth from clothing. And when it came time to get in the activity of walking to Jesus, he didn't need that. I think mainly it was to get rid of anything that could save him even a few seconds in getting to Jesus. What a picture that is for our needs too. Lay aside every weight, we read in Hebrews. The sin that most easily trips us. Run with patience. Run. Push at it. Some effort. Motivation. Bartimaeus had it. Secondly, then, thinking about Christ's mission to men, needy men, there are difficulties, there are complications. There certainly were for Bartimaeus. He couldn't see. He couldn't find his way 5 miles down the road to where Jesus was before he came to Jericho. He couldn't probably get to the other side of the city where Jesus entered. But he was in the path where Jesus departed from Jericho. Difficulty and complications. Bartimaeus longed for light. He lived in darkness. He longed for vision, longed for healing. He longed to be whole, W-H-O-L-E. He longed for that restoring, to be able to be normal. Every day was the same. Every day so dependent, likely unsympathized. Difficulties. Felt beyond hope. He felt outside of remedy. It was always just the same thing. A few pennies from here, a dime or nickel from there. Somebody came by. Never enough. Beyond hope. Well, we read about people in general, don't we? Especially Gentiles that were outside of the commonwealth of Israel. And beyond hope, as everyone is outside of the salvation that Jesus Christ brings. Difficulty and complications. Sometimes you and I feel that nobody understands. Nobody understands. I know we often hook that to our youth, but we all get those feelings sometimes, don't we? Wish somebody could understand what I'm feeling. Wish someone could understand what I'm going through. What a blessing to read that we have a high priest who is not only aware of our infirmities, but he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. That's a precious verse to me. Do you have feelings about what you go through in life? We all do. There's feelings involved, isn't there? We're made with emotions. And Jesus knows about those feelings. That's the Jesus we have. That's the Son of David that Bartimaeus called out for mercy from. It's the same one that has mercy for you and I in our needs of life, especially to meet God and to connect with God and to give ourselves to God, to be fulfilled and filled by God. Well, another third item here that is a part of Christ's mission to men, and that's faith that perseveres. That's on the account of those who call out to him, those who recognize him for who he is. Faith that perseveres. The one man that Jesus dealt with, when Jesus asked him if he believed, he says, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." If there's anything that's distracting, if there's anything that's not complete about my believing, my faith, well, help me in this, dear Lord. That's the kind of faith that we must all have. Well, Bartimaeus here, here's Jesus' response for the audience, those around. Jesus stopped and Jesus quieted things down. You know, this man is on the right track. Don't try to restrict him from coming. Bartimaeus heard that response from the Savior, from the Son of David, from the Messiah himself. He heard that kind of response. And so he throws down his cumbering garment. That was part of his faith. Get rid of that which could hold me back. Get rid of that which lengthens this process on my part to getting to God, to getting things settled, to finding restoration. Get rid of the cumbering garments. And I suppose that Bartimaeus would have known that Jesus knew what his need was, but Jesus asked him to state it, and he didn't beat around the bush. He didn't have this long story and finally at the end get into the point. He said, I'd like to be able to see again. I'd like to have some light in my life. I'd like to be able to have vision for what's going on, to know where I'm going. Well, the fourth point here, as we look at Christ's mission, there was complete restoring. Complete. Wasn't partial. Complete. When these other things were in, when these other steps had been taken and faith was present, there could be complete restoration. There wasn't anything hindering the work, the power, the compassion, the entering in of Jesus into this man's physical need. And certainly his spiritual need at that time. Complete restoring. He received his sight. We read that. Received his sight. Immediately he received his sight. What a blessed ending to the story or summary to this story that we're studying here. He received his sight. And I believe that blind Bartimaeus, now seeing Bartimaeus, I believe that he got some spiritual insight too. I believe so. I believe that would be apparent in the fact that he followed Jesus in the way. What's the way? Is he just talking about a road? He's talking about the road on out of Jericho to wherever that went? Well, probably means that, but I think it means a lot more than that. This is the same Greek word that in Acts 19:9 occurs. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, is this talking about a road? Is talking about the road into Damascus or out of Damascus? No. Maybe it wasn't Damascus. I believe it was, maybe it was at Ephesus. But it wasn't talking about a physical road. It wasn't talking about the two-lane or the freeway. It's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a way of life, a way of thought, a way of persuasion, a way of conviction, a way of living that connected with God and had Jesus Christ as the master of this way, and had also included happy, content, restored people walking this way. So he followed Jesus in the way. I believe that was a spiritual way that Bartimaeus followed the Master. Followed the Master, the Messiah, the one who offered him such a blessed restoration, a transformation of sight and certainly mind, and included transformation of heart. Well, Christ's work is to open the eyes of our understanding, isn't it? Need to think differently than what we did before we knew him. The renewing of our mind is what takes place when we place ourselves at the feet of this Son of David, this Messiah who was a main character, became a main character in the story, not just with Bartimaeus, but it was with Bartimaeus. A main character in the story of his life was this one who came to open not only physical eyes, but heart eyes too. And so that vision that Bartimaeus came to have in a new way, that vision that was from his heart as well, provided an illumination to life's duties, to life's difficulties, whatever they may have been from then on, from the problems of life. and to your problems and my problems today, and your duties and my duties, your encounters, your relationships and my relationships. Christ's work today, just as it was then, is to open the eyes of our understanding so that we can see him more clearly, so that we can hear his directions, so that we can have a heart that says yes to his will. My heart says amen to thy will, Lord, we sing sometimes. I know that thou lovest me still. Yes, still, even when things don't go the way we wish they would, when there's pain, when there's loss, God still loves. He's still the Son of David. Jesus is still the Son of David, with his compassion, with his interest, and with his personal attention that calls, not just for you, but calls you in a personal way. I like that. So let's let our faith take us to that clarity of vision, that acuity of understanding in the spiritual sense, that will let God's work be what it was designed to be, and let him be to us what he came into the world to be, the Savior, the Illuminator, and the now the Advocate and Intercessor. And God bless us as we let him be that.